we are in a series called One. And last week we read a passage from Ephesians chapter 4. And it said this, didn't just say it last week, it says it this week too. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. We are called, we are invited, we are commanded to be one as the body of Christ. And so we're asking in this series, what is it that makes us, with all of our diversity, what is it that makes us one? And so last week, we talked about we talked about that we are united by our King. We all have the same King. Amen? We are united because of Jesus, because He is Lord. We all say yes, sir, to Him. And so if we're all doing what He desires and going where He desires, then we're going to go together. And secondly, this week we're talking about we are united by our calling. Talking about mission over methods. We're talking about our mission this week. When a hockey team is clear on their mission to work together as a team, each one adding their strengths, and that their goal, their mission, is to get the puck in the net and to win the game, does it matter if they all listen to the same music? Right? Does it matter if they all had the same thing for breakfast? Does it matter if they all even have the same brand of skates? Right? It matters that they all have the same mission and they're working together for the mission. Right? If a military unit has a mission to free a group of prisoners, does it matter if one soldier is a vegan and another one loves steak? Or that one is from Woodstock, New Brunswick, and one's from Woodstock, Ontario? Right? Or one voted conservative and one voted NDP? As long as they're clear on their mission, those other things are not what unites them. It's the mission that unites them, right? And in the same way, we are not one because we all enjoy the same hobbies or we all get excited about the same things. But we're one because we have one mission in Christ. So what is our mission? Jesus clearly communicated to His disciples what He wanted them to do. Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, says this: Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. This is after Jesus' resurrection, just before He ascended to the Father. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. Isn't that interesting little detail? Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We call this the Great Commission. Or the Great Co-Mission. Right? That we're working together, cooperating and working together, and we're working with Jesus. Right? It's His mission. And he lets us in. He lets us to be part of the team, to do what he has been given authority to do in the world by the Father. It is our great co-mission with Jesus. So a few things this morning. First of all, we notice the authority of Jesus to do the mission. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth." That really doesn't leave anything else out, does it? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," said Jesus. "Therefore, go." He's obviously connecting those two things. Jesus has been given authority. Therefore, as his followers, as his sons and daughters, as his people, as the ones who've been adopted into his family, invited onto his team, because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, he says, "Therefore, go." We are sent with authority so that when we are doing what the King has sent us to do, we are backed by the King's authority. Right? We're sent with his message. We're sent with his heart. We're sent and led by him to be empowered and empowered by him. When Jesus walked on this earth, as we read about his life and his ministry in the Gospels, when Jesus walked on this earth, he lived and ministered with incredible authority, didn't he? Incredible authority. Is that just because he is God? Trick question, right? I don't know how to answer, Pastor. Am I going to get struck by lightning if I say it wrong? No, it was not just because he was God. Because he was also, the Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus was also fully human and had laid aside his glory. He chose not, while he walked on this earth and lived on this earth, to function in his omniscience, meaning being all-knowing, to function in his omnipotence, meaning being all-powerful, while he walked among us. Jesus did not teleport from Jerusalem to Capernaum when he was late for a meeting. Right? Jesus did not stop time when he was having a good weekend on a Sabbath and didn't want to go back to the construction site on Monday. Right? He didn't stop time so he could have a longer Sabbath. He didn't exercise his omnipotence and his omniscience when he walked among us. In other words, Jesus willingly and fully immersed himself in the human experience as one of us, and he didn't cheat. But Luke, in his gospel, so how did Jesus function in so much authority? Luke, in his gospel, tells us that Jesus went out from his baptism full of the Holy Spirit. You mean God the Son needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what Luke tells us. Because Jesus had laid aside his glory and become truly and fully one of us. And he did the ministry that he did on the earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're also told that Jesus spent time regularly early in the morning talking with the Father. He got his marching orders from the Father as he went. Jesus, in fact, said in John chapter 5, verse 19, he says, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself." Isn't that an amazing thing for the Son of God to say about himself? I can't do anything by myself. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. So Jesus walked through his day in constant connection and being constantly tuned in to the heart of the Father, looking for where the Father was working, and then saying, I want to partner with you, Father. And it's because Jesus was doing what the Father was doing that he had the authority to do what he did. Right? And it's the same for us. If we just walk around doing whatever we want and hoping that God is going to bless it, we're going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble. But if we listen to Jesus and get his direction, then we will have his backing and his authority in the things that we are doing. We will always have heaven's authority to fulfill heaven's agenda. Secondly, say it again. We will always have heaven's authority to fulfill heaven's agenda. That's something like what I said. Then it says, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go, is what our English Bibles say. In the original language, in the Greek that it was written in, it's not quite the same. It's a little difficult to kind of grab a hold of what the verb tense is meaning there. But it's kind of like, in all authority has been in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore going, make disciples. In other words, in your going, as you're going, the going is assumed. The going is a given. Jesus is sending them, assuming that they're going. Right? All authority has been given to me, therefore, going, do some things. Right? Make disciples. We are sent ones. That is what we are. We, as God's children, as God's people, as God's church, as God's, as Jesus' hands and feet on the earth, his body on the earth, we are sent ones. The New Testament uses the word apostle or apostolic. It's talking about that literally in the Greek means sent. And the exact same word in Latin is missio, where we get mission from. We are sent ones. We are mission ones. We are ones sent with a mission to do some things Jesus has sent us to do. In your going, it is easy sometimes to forget that we are sent. It is easy sometimes to forget the going and settle. Jesus, this is interesting. Jesus in, I don't know if this is an odd coincidence. Let me say it that way. We have one thing said in Acts 1 verse 8, and an interesting thing sent in Acts 8:1. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea," which is the province, the larger province where Jerusalem was, "Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria," another province, "and to the ends of the earth." Right? So these are kind of concentric circles of influence that Jesus is telling his followers, go. Go take my message, not only to Jerusalem where you live, but to Judea, to your province, to Samaria, to another province, and keep going to the ends of the earth. But 8 chapters later, after this happened right after Stephen, the first martyr, was killed for the faith, Acts chapter 8, 8 chapters later, says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." Isn't that interesting? The church had settled in Jerusalem, and they were comfortable because this is where they lived, and this is where they loved to hang out with their connect group, with their church. They loved to show up on Sunday and sit in the same pew every week and talk to the same people every week. They were comfortable. And God had to send persecution to the church in Jerusalem to scatter them to the places he had told them 8 chapters earlier that they were supposed to go. Right? Sometimes we settle and we forget the going. But Jesus intended the going to be assumed. I hope this works. I want to show just a couple minute video to you that tells a little bit of a parable. Let's try it.
On a dangerous sea coast, notorious for shipwrecks, there was a crude little life-saving station. Actually, it was merely a hut with only one boat, but the few members kept a constant watch over the turbulent sea. With little thought for themselves, they would go out day and night, tirelessly searching for those in danger, as well as the lost. Many lives were saved by this brave band who faithfully worked as a team in and out of the life-saving station. By and by, it became a famous place. Some of those who had been saved, as well as others along the seacoast, wanted to become associated with this little station. They were willing to give their time, energy, and money in support of its objectives. New boats were purchased. New crews were trained. The station, once obscure and crude and virtually insignificant, began to grow. Some of its members were unhappy the hut was so unattractive and poorly equipped. They felt a more comfortable place should be provided. Emergency cots were replaced with lovely furniture. Rough, handmade equipment was discarded, and sophisticated, classy systems were installed. The huts, of course, had to be torn down to make room for all the additional equipment, furniture, and systems. By the time of its completion, the life-saving station had become a popular gathering place, and its objectives had begun to shift. It was now used as a sort of clubhouse, an attractive building for public gathering. Saving lives, feeding the hungry, strengthening the fearful, and calming the disturbed rarely occurred. Fewer members were interested in braving the sea on life-saving missions, so they hired professional lifeboat crews to do this work. The original goal of the station wasn't altogether forgotten, however. Life-saving motifs still prevailed in the club's decorations. There was a liturgical lifeboat preserved in the room of sweet memories with soft, indirect lighting, which helped hide the layer of dust upon the once-used vessel. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the boat crews brought in loads of cold, wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty, some terribly sick and lonely. Others were different from the majority of the club members. The beautiful new clubs suddenly became messy and cluttered. A special committee saw to it that a shower house was immediately built outside, away from the club, so victims of the shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there were strong words and angry feelings, which resulted in a division among the members. Most of the people wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities and all involvements with shipwreck victims. As you'd expect, some still insisted on saving lives, that this was their primary objective, that their only reason for existence was ministering to anyone needing help, regardless of their club's beauty or size or decorations. They were voted down and told if they wanted to save the lives of various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. They did. As the years passed, the new station experienced the same old changes. It evolved into another club, and yet another life-saving station was begun. History repeated itself. And if you visit that coast today, you'll find a large number of exclusive, impressive clubs along the shoreline, owned and operated by slick professionals who have lost all involvement with the saving of lives. Shipwrecks still occur in those waters, but now most of the victims are not saved. Every day they drown at sea, and so few others seem to care. So very few.
Wow. Hey. We are, at Evangel, we are not an economy country club. A place where you can have just some great relationships and chill out with some nice people for a fraction of the cost. Right? We don't exist for our own pleasure. And if our methods are not what make you happy, it's because our purpose is not your happiness. But it's the mission that we've been sent to. And I would rather make us uncomfortable sometimes and bring one person to Jesus than make comfort our mandate. Are we here to be entertained, or are we here to be part of a mission? Because we do have a mission. And the time is getting shorter every day to reach as many people as we can with the hope of Jesus. Amen? So Jesus said to go and make disciples. Our mission is to be a disciple of Jesus and to make disciples as we go. So what is a disciple? That's a word that we hear from the Gospels, we hear preached about and talked about, but what is a disciple? It's like a student apprentice. Someone who is not only learning what we know. The goal of making a disciple isn't just passing on what we know, but learning how to put it in practice. A disciple is someone to whom we say, come follow me as I follow Christ. That is a bold thing to say, isn't it? Come follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said those words in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Come follow me as I follow Christ. So I guess the first question that brings up for me is can we be so confident in our imitation of Jesus that we can say to someone else, if you imitate my life, my example, my attitudes, my heart to serve others, you will end up becoming more like Jesus. I'm not talking about perfection. Paul wasn't perfect. And none of us will be, right? We know that. But if we're a few steps ahead of someone in our faith journey, and we're truly moving towards Christ, then we can say, come with me and we'll go there together. I'll show you what I know and what I don't. We can learn together. Right? But Jesus told us to make disciples. So secondly, my second question that comes out of this is, are we willing to invest our lives in others? Making disciples means getting involved in someone else's life, and sometimes their mess and their struggle and their questions and the stuff that's difficult. But we'd better be willing to do that, because that's our main job as followers of Jesus, is to make disciples. We're not in this thing to rack up some points so we get a better mansion in glory, but we're here for a mission. To go, and in going, make disciples. During my sabbatical time this summer, I believe God was showing me that we need to do a much better job as a church at developing leaders and making disciples, discipling people. And we want to equip you as disciple makers. Disciple making is not just the pastor's job. It's our job. It's my job to equip you. It's our job to make disciples. Right? And so we want to equip you better to be disciple makers, to help other people grow in their faith journey. So as a church leadership team, we're going to be working on how we can be more strategic and intentional about leadership development and disciple making. You know, when we meet Jesus face to face, He's not going to ask us, how many meetings did you attend? He's going to say, how did you do with my mission to make disciples? I sent you out to do some things. Did you do them? Right? My heart is that we would get better at doing that. And Jesus said, go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything that I, to obey everything that I have commanded. This is part of the making disciples thing. We are not just getting people to join our club so we can all be Jesus fans. But baptism is about getting someone to change their allegiance from the world to their King. That's what baptism is all about. And then Jesus says to teach disciples to obey everything that He's commanded. As we said last week, Jesus isn't your buddy. I mean, He's your friend, but He's not just your buddy. He's your King, right? He's your Lord and King, and He's commanded a way of life that we need to learn how to live. It means unlearning some things that we grew up with and learning how to live in the kingdom. By definition, a disciple of Jesus is someone who lives in obedience to His leadership in their lives. Then the last point kind of loops back to what we said at the beginning about authority. But we've got backup. Jesus says, gives us all these things that we're called to do, this mission that we're sent out to do. And then He gives us the amazing promise, and I will be with you to the very end of the age. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus doesn't send us out and say, good luck with that. You better do it right. You know, come back at the end of your life and we'll check up on you, make sure you did. No, Jesus says, go, and as you go, I'm going with you. I will be with you. I'll give you the strength to do it. I'll give you the wisdom to do it. I'll lead you just like my Father led me every day as I went in the going. My Father led me. I will lead you if you keep your heart open to me. If you truly want to be led by me, I will lead you. You'll have conversations you never thought you'd have, and you'll meet people you never thought you would meet, but my kingdom will be established as you go and do what I've called you to do. It's an amazing promise. Because in the going, brothers and sisters, I know that there are times when you feel alone in the battle. There are times when you feel like everyone that you used to call friend or family has rejected you. You're walking a lonely journey at times. When it costs us deeply to be faithful to Jesus, we have the promise that He is with us every step of the way. When we're rejected by families and friends, rejected by co-workers because of our allegiance to Jesus, Jesus has promised to be with us to the end. It's not a day of serving Him that you've done it alone, but He's with you. So our mission as a church, we will disagree at times over methods. Times change. The culture changes. Culture that we're trying to reach with the message of Jesus. Our message never changes. Let me be clear about that, right? Our message never changes. But how we connect to the world around us and how we communicate the message will be ever-changing. When God in the Old Testament dealt with people, He seldom did something the same way twice. Right? When Jesus healed people in the New Testament, He seldom did the same thing the same way twice. One guy who was blind, He spoke to and he received his sight. Another guy, He spit in the dirt, made some mud, put it in his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool. Right? Kind of weird. But Jesus didn't ever do the same thing the same way twice. Because different methods are needed for different times, different people, different situations. People would get offended at Jesus and His methods at times, but His mission was always His priority. So as a church, we have a mission statement. We exist to exalt God in everything, to engage people with the hope of the gospel, to equip people as followers of Jesus, and to empower everyone for ministry. And our mission is, first of all, to make it absolutely clear that Jesus is our King. We exalt Him in everything, right? We honor His presence, because it's His presence that changes lives. That our mission, secondly, is to engage people with the hope of the gospel. That means getting out of the box of this room, right? Going into our mission field, making friendships and connections with people who need Jesus, so that hopefully an opportunity will arise where they ask a really, really amazing question, and we get to answer what our hope is, right? To engage lost people with the hope of the gospel, to equip people as followers of Jesus. That's the disciple-making thing, helping each other and helping others to learn what it means to follow Jesus and to empower everyone for ministry. We have a mission together, but you have a mission. Did you know that? You are a sent one. You are one God has given a mission. And everybody's mission is going to look a little different because your circle of influence is different and the things that you care about are different and the ways that God is going to open up opportunities for you to connect with a person who needs Jesus is going to be different. Your mission is not going to look the same as mine. But you have a mission. And we want to empower you through teaching, training, equipping, and prayer. We want to see you empowered to walk in your mission effectively, powerfully, that you would be able to say to someone, follow me as I follow Christ. Right? So at the bottom, if you're taking notes today, some of you are, some of you aren't, it's okay. We all learn differently. We provide those note pages just for those who are note takers to not walk away and forget everything that you heard and hopefully get some nuggets out of our time together. But the next little while, we're going to have one question at the bottom of every note page. It's an application question that we want our connect groups to talk about, we want you to think about. And so today's question is, how can you orient your life around the mission of Jesus this week by going? Right? What does going look like for you this week? You may not know the answer to that question. If you're wanting to be led by Jesus, you're gonna be surprised by what that looks like sometimes. Right? You may not know, but I think if we're asking the question regularly, daily, Jesus, what is going look like for me today? If we're asking the question, we're going to be positioning ourselves where Jesus can use us in unique ways and powerful ways, right? So how can you orient your life around the mission of Jesus this week by going? Let's stand. Folks, it's been a rich morning this morning. It's been a rich sense of God's presence with us. We've been encouraged, been challenged. We've been invited closer in our walk with Jesus. Been invited to rest in the will of God, to know that we can trust Him. been reminded that not only do we collectively have a mission, Bathurst and region better look out, because Evangel Bathurst has a mission. Amen. We've been reminded that each one of our lives, we're not just meant to coast through from one day to the next surviving. We're actually given a mission in this world. That our lives matter, our lives have purpose. So, Father, I thank you for your amazing love for us today. It is mind-blowing that Jesus, you would co-mission us. That you would pluck a bunch of weirdos out of the world, bring us together, and say, I've invited you to be on mission with me to reach this city for the kingdom of God. God, thank you that you have a purpose for my life. You have a purpose for each one of our lives. You have a mission for us. That this week there are people you're going to put in our path that we can, maybe in some small way, maybe in some big way, we can share the hope and the love of Jesus in a way that cracks their life open to the kingdom of God. You've given us authority and power that we don't even understand. God, as we go into our week, as we go into the fall season, pray that we would think differently about how we walk through our days. Jesus, you said the Son can do nothing on his own, but he only does what he sees the Father doing. May we say, I can do nothing on my own, but I only do what I see Jesus doing. May we be led by you, empowered by you, as we move into a new season, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Pastor, for the encouraging message this morning. Something good is going to happen through your life and my life. God is going to use us. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Without you, we wouldn't have a worship service. Amen. Same pastor, you said at the beginning of your message, you talked about how Jesus began his day with prayer. That's how we connect, amen? That's how we get into the flow of the Spirit, amen. We open the altars now for anyone who would like to come. Maybe you feel you have a need for prayer. For whatever reason, it could be concerning our mission, might be maybe physical, emotional, financial, whatever it might be. We serve a big God who's ready now to minister to you in even a greater way. We have those who are going to come and pray with you. So if you feel at this time that you would like to come and be prayed for, we would encourage you now to come. Don't hesitate. If you feel in your heart that you need to come today for prayer, we would invite you to now to come. If you have to go at this time, God bless you. We hope to see you real soon again. And may you have a great week in Jesus. Maybe next week we'll have testimonies of how God used you. Amen. It's going to be an exciting week this week. Something good is going to happen. Amen. You come if you need prayer today. And God bless you.
Here is where